Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Strong Mom Podcast. I am your host, the mighty Mamacita Marisa, checking in. And today's episode, I have a very special guest. I have world record holding weightlifter, Christy Brewer. She is a mom of two. Super amazing. And she's going to be talking to us today about raising the bar and raising awareness for autism. How are you, Christy?
Doing good.
Good. So for the people out there who don't know you, can you give us a little bit of background of what you do in weightlifting, when you started, and when you started being competitive in weightlifting?
Okay. Yeah. So I started CrossFit actually right out of the gate as a master. I was 35. And pretty much jumped in, wanted to be competitive. I was in CrossFit before and thought, games bound, like that was my thing.
And you started CrossFit when?
I started CrossFit in very late November 2013. So basically January 2014. And I went to regionals.
Okay. And how old were you then?
Oh gosh. So that was probably 33.
Okay. And was there any athletic background before then, or just kind of jumped in straight?
Yeah. So when, as a child, I grew up with sports. My dad was, we were all girls, but my dad was into athletics, wanted his girls to be into athletics, hunting, fishing. Like, we were just farm girls.
So he wanted a Calvin, but he got a Christy.
Pretty much. Yeah. Actually, the funny thing is my parents thought I was going to be a boy. Uh-huh. Like, I was legit the boy. And I came out girl.
Dang it. Ruined their dreams.
But I'm a pretty strong girl. So anyway, so in growing up, childhood was softball was my major sport, the main one. But I did softball, soccer, track, and cheerleading.
Nice.
And played collegiate softball. And then there was a break. After college, I got my dream job. I thought it was my dream job. I worked for the largest accounting firm in the world. I was going to climb the corporate ladder. I was going to be the partner. And so I was a workaholic. Like, that's all I did. I was work. There was no fitness. I worked like 80 hours a week. It was nuts. And then children came along.
Yeah.
And then I had way less time than I thought I even had. And so there was legit 10 years where I did not have fitness.
Wow.
Like, legit fitness. And that was really hard. And I finally just got to the point where, A, I wanted fitness. I needed something for myself. And I wanted to lose the baby weight.
Yeah.
And so the funny thing is I found CrossFit from a Google search.
Uh-huh.
So I was the P90X person. And I could not stand Tony. Is that his name?
Yeah.
I couldn't stand his voice anymore. It was driving me nuts.
That's amazing. How are the balls of your feet trying to do all those jumps?
And so, yeah, so I had, like, burnt out on P90X, and I was like, all right, well, what's the next bandwagon I can jump on? So my husband and I got on Google, and we found CrossFit.
What was that? Did you Google CrossFit, or did you just Google, like,
we just,
fitness things to
we
do?
We had never heard of CrossFit.
Yeah.
I had no idea what CrossFit was.
So
and
how
so
that
we
even
just, I think we just Googled, like, fitness, like, fitness you can do in your garage.
Yeah, okay.
Because like, I worked all the time.
Yeah.
I didn't have any, like, downtime, per se. And so it was just something I could do at home.
Yeah.
I think we just were Googling, like, fitness at home, fitness in your garage. So we found CrossFit. And, of course, I found videos from 2009. It's 2013, mind you. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm going to the games. I'm totally doing this. But it was too expensive, so I couldn't afford a membership. And so I'm like, well, I'm just going to YouTube. I'm doing this. Just go to the games and teach myself on YouTube. Mm-hmm. That didn't last. So CrossFit, went to regionals as a team, 2014, 2015, and then realized if I'm going to the games, then I need to get like specialized coaching. And the first specialized coach I got was weightlifting.
Mm-hmm.
And literally like that same week, he was like, no, you need to do weightlifting. Like,
and just made the switch.
Yeah. Cause he convinced me like you're built to be a weightlifter. And I felt strong.
Yeah.
I had decent numbers.
And you didn't have to feel like you were dying after
yes.
all of those wads.
No more red line. And so, yeah, I pretty much committed right out of the gate. Because my thing is, like, I'm all in or all out.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be mediocre at both or just kind of, like, half-baked on either side.
Yeah.
So I needed to choose.
Yeah, I'm kind of like how you are with your job.
Yes.
Got that degree and just went all in. Made that switch to weightlifting and have that laser focus to go all in with that as well.
All in or all out. That's even what I told Max. Like when Max and I were first conversing about picking him up as a coach, I was like, he's like, oh, you know, just kind of get your feet wet. We'll figure this out. See if it works. And I was like, no, I'm either committed or I'm not. Like, this is going to work or it's not. And that's just my personality.
Yeah. Which I think is good. I think like if you want to excel and be at the top, you have to have that laser focus and have that discipline to do that. So when you made that transition to weightlifting and you got a little bit more serious, how did you balance like the family stuff? Because you said, okay, I started working. I kind of let all the fitness stuff go. Fast forward, got married, have two kids. And then you also, can you talk a little bit, because you have two daughters and you have one daughter who has autism. So can you talk a little bit about how you decided to make that switch to be laser focused and disciplined? Cause it does take a lot of time, and how you balance like your family life. What does like a typical day for you look like?
Yeah. So I would say to begin with, once I realized that I no longer wanted to climb that corporate ladder, like I wanted a life outside work that just no longer became my goal. So I just kind of slowly and over time, over like almost a 3-year period, I started switching my role at the firm, and it allowed me to work from home more, which was more so find more time for training, because I wasn't commuting 3 hours a day. So if I wasn't commuting 3 hours a day, I could train for 3 hours a day. And so, you know, my role just kind of transitioned and different. And this was when we lived in California, I would say, like 2015, 2016. And during that period is also Kalea was medically diagnosed with autism, May of 2015.
And how old was she?
She was two, just over two. Like it was huge. It like legitimately crushed my soul. As a mother, I felt I had failed. I was ashamed of this diagnosis because it was something so foreign.
Yeah.
Something I had no experience with. I had no knowledge.
Because your other daughter was older.
Yes. Okay. My other daughter, neurotypical, like she checked off all the milestones, like I thought I was like the bomb mom. Like,
yeah.
How do people suck at this? This is easy.
Yeah.
And then Kalea came along and I was like, holy crap. Like, this is hard. Like, it was just curveballs left and right. And so,
And you said like milestones that were missed. So was it like an early on, like, hey, something is not the same. I mean, this child is requiring more energy, more time, and the development's not there.
Yeah. Like, so we legit started noticing, I would say I, because my husband as well as the pediatrician were both like, she's fine. She's just delayed. And I was like, no. Around like 5-6 months, I started noticing she couldn't roll over on both sides. Yeah. When she was one, I noticed like she couldn't sit up by herself. And so she actually started PT and OT at one.
Wow.
We've been in the therapy process since she was 1 year old.
Which I think is like good to not, as a parent, not have your head in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it, like you said, like it's soul crushing. You feel like a failure, but at the same time, like getting the necessary help.
Yeah.
I think helps them.
It was so when she was one, she didn't have a diagnosis. It was just, she was low muscle tone.
Mm-hmm.
The closer she got to two, more things became more apparent. And we were able to have her see a neurologist, a specialist. And that's when the diagnosis came. And as much as it crushed my soul and it just like made me feel almost like incapable in this situation, it was a huge blessing because it opened up doors for her to get therapies that would not have been available without a diagnosis. And it also made me just realize that even though like we see ourselves as something and we have this face, that in reality, like everyone is fighting something. Like Kalea is fighting autism and it's apparent, it's there, you see it. But like now I see like a lot of us are hiding things that we're fighting that we don't want to share. And everyone is fighting something. Everyone.
Yeah.
And it's okay. It's okay that you have something you struggle with. It's and it's okay to seek help.
Yeah. I 100% agree. I think like the scary part with having girls, and I know you could probably speak on this more because you're both your girls are now in school, is just the girls I think have to deal with a lot more
Oh, yes.
social issues in school. I mean, it's hard enough.
Girls can be mean.
Girls are mean. Not can be mean. Girls are mean. So as, you know, a mom has a job, trying to be an athlete as well and excel in that, can you talk a little bit about your role is in teaching your girls how to go about, you know, they're seeing you. They're seeing you succeed and in chase after your goals. But I'm sure there's a level of mom guilt because one daughter is going to require a lot more work and time than the other. How do you balance that? Having to talk to maybe your older daughter that may not be getting in her eyes, well, why don't I get as much attention or why, how does the balance work for that?
I don't think there's ever a balance, to be honest. If the more time you spend in one area, something has to, take those hours away. And that's funny because my older daughter, Kaylana, she comments about it. Like, why don't you stay at my practices?
Yeah.
Like her 2.5 hour gymnastic practices. You're always at Kalea's therapies. Like her therapies are 20 hours a week.
Yeah.
By the time I drive and I sit, that I have to sit because I'm very like, I have to be physically involved in her therapies. And then I'm also supposed to go home and practice with her.
Yeah. So because Kalea is nonverbal.
Yeah. And we're working to get her a communication device. But Kaylana, things come naturally for her. Like, she's naturally athletic. She's naturally smart. She's the kindest soul there is. Just an all-around awesome girl. But it's very hard for me to remember that she also needs that time.
Yeah.
And so I try to do, like, one-on-one dates. But to be honest, you know what she wants?
Mm.
She just wants my time.
Yeah.
She legit wants me to sit down on the couch and just talk about her day.
Yeah.
Like, read a book. She just wants that, like, legit, put your phone down. Like, let's just hang out, Mom.
Yeah.
Where Kalea, she just needs, like, brute strength.
Yeah.
To, like, wrestle with her. So they're so, so different. And I do. Every day I think I go to bed feeling more guilt than I do accomplishment. As a mother, and I think that's why weightlifting has been very important for me because that it is. As much as people say I do it for my children, I do it for me as much as I do it for them because it's me. It's something that I'm challenging myself. And weightlifting specifically I like because no matter what, at the end of the day, like the bar's the same, the weight's the same. It's up to me, like mentally, physically, and emotionally, am I prepared to lift that weight?
Yeah.
Did I do my homework? And so I think weightlifting has been huge for me. And also for my kids, as you were saying, like as they see me train, they see me fail. Like I'll show them like, and they'll see me cry or they'll see me like miss a lift.
Yeah. And that life goes on.
Like, yeah.
That's part of life.
And even in a competition, like they've seen me bomb out. They've seen me like not make lifts I make in practice, and it's, I love that I can show her when she's frustrated with gymnastics. I'm like, look, those girls, it might come faster for them. They may seem stronger, you know, but you can work for it.
Yeah.
And don't give up. Like, yeah, it's going to suck, but you don't give up.
Yeah. So. You got to keep pushing forward if you mm-hmm. want to achieve something.
Yeah. Like it's time. You got to put some time in heart.
So how does like a typical day, like, you know, I know you're out here in this camp and you're away from your mm-hmm. kids for a couple of days, but when you're at home, how does a typical day, because you know, most people will always, I don't have time. Well, I feel right. like you're struggling a whole different set of issues with the therapies, gymnastics and full-time job. What does like day start? How does a day start for you? And what does that look like?
Right. So the days are crazy. I don't sit to eat. It's just like always on the go, but it's also me. I like put all that on my own plate. Yeah. So our day, like our morning, I always get up before the kids. And then we drop one child off. Kaylana usually goes to school and then we go to therapy right away in the morning. And then, we usually get therapy for 1 to 2 hours in the morning. I take her to school. And then if I'm lucky and there's no like emails or immediate like job responsibilities, then I try to get my training in right away.
Yeah.
The earlier I can get my training in, and basically, like, off my plate so I don't have to stress about it, the better. And then I'll cram in a few hours of work. I go to the school, pick up the kids, and I look like I just came from the gym. I always look like I just came from the gym, just, like, frazzled. And then I usually have already planned or like pre-made their food, my food, packed all their clothes. And so we pick them up from school. Sometimes we'll come home. If not, we'll just go straight to practice, we'll eat in the car. And after practice, come home, dinner, homework. And once they're in bed, I'm a stickler with bed. Yeah. Like, my kids are in bed at 8:30 because mom has to go back to work.
Yeah.
I work at night all the time. And always have.
Yeah, well, if they're asleep, and that's probably the best time most of your stuff done. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, the big takeaways for, like, moms maybe having to schedule issues is just have a tight schedule.
Yes. Like, I legit write down my schedule on paper or in my calendar. Like, I block off training. Mm-hmm. Like, training has to be something, if you want to commit to it, it has to be on your calendar.
Yeah.
Like, this is my time. And I think anything in life that if you truly want it to be a priority, you make time for it.
Exactly.
In the sense of, like, no matter what, like, if there is, you know, a party or something else that comes up, like, sorry, but I'm going to have to do this first.
Yeah.
So.
And now that you're cutting weight, how does, like, the meal prep come into that? And is Kalea on a special diet? Is there a meal prep that is happening different for each person in the household?
Mm-hmm.
How do you manage that, and how do you fit that into your schedule? Because you're doing everything at this point. You're getting the training done. You're getting your kids to school. You're still working. And you're also really diligent, because I've been with you the last couple of days. No, we're all sitting at the restaurant eating food. You know, I have to be at a certain weight. And you're sticking to your diet. You're not caving in under the pressure of all of us eating.
I just smell the potatoes and the salt. I'm just licking.
Eating the toast. That takes a certain level of discipline.
Right.
So how do you manage that when you're back at home? Does meal prep happen on just a certain day?
Yeah. So Sunday's my meal prep day.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest – so this is too funny. everyone laughs about this. So there's two things. My kids – go to sleep in the clothes they are wearing the next day. Don't mock it till you try it. So my kids are young. Like, they're not, they're like not fashionistas.
What grade are they in?
Fourth and first.
Okay, got
it. So, like, they go to bed in, like, cute shorts and a shirt, as long as the shirt doesn't have, like, sequins or, like, anything crazy. Or, like, just knit dresses.
Oh, so now I know how you're doing this so quickly. They're just legit, rolling out of bed.
They legit roll out of bed. I do their hair. Mom trick number one.
That's a genius move.
It's genius. And then, well, so the way that started is because Kalea refuses to get dressed in the morning. Mm. Like, it was full on battle. And she was just like, no change. And so I was like, screw it. I'm just going to, after you bath, put you in your clothes.
Mm.
I'm brilliant.
Yeah, that is brilliant, though, because it shaves time off of you.
It saves the hassle in the morning.
You don't start your mornings off fighting.
One less battle.
Yeah.
And then, back to meal prep. I meal prep their breakfast. That's one of the biggest things for Sunday. We'll make, like, protein pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
And they just pop them in the oven or in the toaster. And we'll either eat in the car as we're running to school.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just, like, very quick. I don't have to think about it. And then if I'm on my A game, which is not usual, then I prep, like, lunch at night.
Okay.
But then for me, trifecta has been huge. Like, that saved my bacon. But I do. I cook. When I cook, it's my meals and their meals. They eat separately.
Oh, okay.
They haven't got on the veggie bandwagon yet.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm still not on the veggie bandwagon, but I try to get there. Can you talk a little bit about your, I hope I'm saying this right,
Yeah.
You know, how you're raising awareness, you know, for maybe other moms that are going through this, new moms that may not, know what resources are out there, help that they can get. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, AU, the first two letters mm-hmm. stands for autism. And then the second part was for, like, just positivity, like, we got this. And it all came about because my daughter was five, and people are kids her age. They're five. Starting to recognize she's different, and legit, she was already experiencing bullying. And it broke my heart.
Yeah, you want to go and drop kick five-year-olds.
I did. I was okay. Like, so how bad is it if I smack your child? Because it... Like, that's your first reaction. Yeah. Like, you want to bully the bully. And I did. Like, I did not. But I very much wanted to. They're my neighbors.
Yeah.
You know? Like, they're some of them are family, you know, like people very close to me. And it just made me realize how ignorant a lot of people are.
Yeah.
Just uneducated, not exposed to people being different. The comments we get as being, you know, strong women with muscles, you know, we get those comments.
Yeah.
And they're just ignorant comments that just don't need to be made. And so it just was like an epiphany I had of, we really should learn to just celebrate people for being different. Like, A, accept yourself for who you are now and who you're trying to become. And that everyone, at the end of the day, is just trying to do their best.
Yeah.
Like, you know, whether it's a certain battle you're fighting, like Kalea's just, she's learning to try to talk. You know, and so a lot of people will make fun of her because she doesn't talk. Or get frustrated and walk away. Where, it's okay. It's okay where you're at in life, and that we should just learn to be more positive, more accepting, and just let people be who they are. And so that's where Aya was launched. Just the celebration of human uniqueness, that we all struggle, we all fail, get up and try again. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. And so we just really want to build a community of positivity. A community where people can come if they don't feel strong. Like, hey guys, like, help me out, or I'm struggling with this. Like, I think more people struggle. I do. Like, I just posted about how I came to camp. And, like, I'm around Alyssa. She's, like, seventh in the world. And I'm around Q. And she's, like, an American record holder. These girls are crazy amazing. And I mean, I think I'm good, but this week I just felt like, wow, I'm not good enough to be here. Like, even though I've earned this spot, and I just came down on myself where I had to talk to someone else. And they're like, you know, like, you earned that spot too. Yeah. Like, you deserve to be
you're
there.
You're here for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so just a community, and I think a place for people to go and realize that it's okay to be different.
Yeah. And also probably just take away the stigma. I think for a lot of parents, I think they tell their kids just to stay away instead of asking questions. And I think that's like a huge mistake. A lot of parents of quote unquote normal kids make the mistake of doing, like, to say, well, don't just go over there because you don't want to embarrass them. Well, no, go out, reach out, make
ask
a friend.
Questions.
Yeah. And I have to admit, if my nephew didn't have CP and cerebral palsy, if he didn't have his own issues, I don't know if I would be aware of it either.
Right.
So I think it's like really important for parents who have kids that don't have problems to talk to your kids and let them know that it's okay. Go out there, ask questions, try to make a friend, and then learn some understanding, because it sucks to go to school and be left out.
Yes. Yes.
It sucks.
It does. Neurotypical or not, like, we've all been left out before.
Yeah. And it's not a fun feeling.
No.
So what would your advice be to parents who have kids who are normal? Like, what's okay and not okay to say to a child?
I would honestly, like, kids are so innocent. And I think they just need, as they do for everybody, I think they need to ask questions. But I think the biggest thing I've learned is it's the parents. And so I see kids who make, like, snarky comments. It's because they've heard their parents say it. And I think it's just parents needing to, it's okay to stare, like, and not, I'm not saying like mean glare stare, but like, look, if anything's different or out of the ordinary, we all look.
Yeah.
Your hair is a weird color or different color, or you're wearing something super funky, you're going to look, and that's okay. But it's also okay to, like, just ask questions and, like, talk to them like they're people, because they are people. They're all people. And just be friends. But this is the one thing I tell my older daughter, the neurotypical Kaylana. She is that. So she was having a friend who at a point was her friend and just started lashing out and became, like, just very negative, not good energy. And Lana was like, I don't necessarily want to be her friend anymore. And I was like, look, you don't have to be friends with everybody.
Yeah.
It's okay. You will never jive with everybody. But you have to be kind to everybody. So find your tribe, but be kind to everybody.
Yeah. And where can people find, like, it's a clothing line.
Mm-hmm.
Where can they find that? Where can they purchase that? Can you give us some taglines, yeah, some of the shirts? Because since it's not on YouTube.
Right.
They're really cute. I know Alyssa and Q, some of the lifters have worn it. So.
Yeah, so the first two that we came out with were very much, we were going to an autism event. And so we wanted to celebrate just that being different is awesome. And so our first one is Normal is Boring.
Yep. Indeed it is.
and that very much at the root of be yourself, be unique. And then the other one is I'm a limited edition. Like, not special needs, you are limited. Like, you are the only you.
Yeah. So we are all limited edition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In reality, we all are. Yeah. And then the other one is Flossom. Because, we all have something we're working on. Like, we all got some stuff going on.
So Flossom as in F-L-A-W.
Yep. Like, you're awesome, but you got some flaws.
Yeah.
You got stuff to work on, Chica. So, anyway, the web address is auya.co.
Awesome.
Because some person's stole the .com. That's why.
Darn it. any advice out there for moms, new moms, who may think that their children have autism or have, where did you go? Because you said, you know, this was new to you as well.
Yeah,
so
super new.
What did you do? Where is there places or resources out there?
Yeah. The first thing I did, because I knew no one with autism, I knew, like, just completely foreign to me, and both my husband right now is super supportive and awesome, you know, but he just thought she was delayed. And same with my pediatrician. And so I actually self-referred myself to the state. A lot of states will have an early intervention program.
Okay.
And they just come out and do an assessment. But now, I mean, social media wasn't as much of a thing. I mean, it was, but it's becoming more. And I think, hey, reach out to me. I am like a complete open book.
And where can they find you on Instagram?
Me, I'm K Mighty.
K underscore Mighty.
K underscore Mighty. So reach out to me.
Is there a Facebook page for the...
Auya.co is also on Facebook as auya.co.
Yeah. So that would probably be a really great place too for people to reach out if they have questions. And
yeah, I mean, there's so many resources. I feel like Google can be very scary and overwhelming. And I talk to a lot of people on a regular basis about early signs, like, what did you see? Or like, I'm scared, or the same experience I had of just being like, it's very hard.
Yeah.
I think it's very hard as a parent to accept, that it's not your fault. I was in denial for years, many years. And I was always trying to find a reason where in the reality, like, it doesn't matter. It is what it is. And that it's okay.
Yeah. And
she's not broken. She's not broken.
And this, the enhancement to your life.
Oh,
the lessons they teach.
I'm a completely different person.
Yeah.
Completely. Like, she flipped my world. Like, my heart was completely changed. I have learned to become more accepting of others, more accepting of myself. Like, it's been a complete game changer for me as a person. And her family, like me as a mother.
Plus, she's adorable.
She's hilarious.
You guys have to follow Christy because she puts her daughter on the stories all the time.
She loves a camera.
She is a ham. She loves to pose for the camera. Both your daughters are beautiful.
Yeah.
So she's just a big personality.
She's a huge.
I feel like when you have that big of a personality, you don't need to be vocal.
No. And that's why I think she has a big personality. Her voice is her, like, shaking her booty. Like, she loves to move.
It's in the eyes and in the smile, just the aura that surrounds her when she's on camera, because it's almost like everything that you think she would say is just conveyed in how she...
In body language. She's incredible body language.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. So, like you said, she's not broken. She's amazing.
She is the happiest soul ever. She's so happy.
Yeah, I love that. Your kids are amazing. I really want to thank you for coming on today.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. And you guys, please go and check out the site. Follow her on Instagram, buy the shirts and support autism awareness and talk to your kids. Make sure your kids are going to school, reaching out and making friends with that person that's sitting in the corner by themselves, because you could be saving a life, not only theirs, but your own. And that's a transformation that you maybe not only do for their life, but for your own, makes you a better and kinder person.
Yep.
Which is, I think, what we're all striving for. So thank you guys so much for listening. As always, please rate, subscribe, and leave a review. And until next week.